All right. Welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. My name is Simon. I'm here with Matt.
My name is Matt.
His name is Matt, and his name is James. Say hi, James.
Hi. Yeah, my name is still James.
Still James. Not changed it from last week?
No.
Not even considered it?
Considered it, didn't do it.
Okay. All right, we are in a pretty good mood. United have just beaten Liverpool 3-2 in the FA Cup to go through to the fifth round?
Yes,
the fifth round. Yes. Should have checked that first before I came balling in with that fact. Yeah, we're through. Really good game today. And what felt like a massive result, really, I feel. Feels like we haven't beat Liverpool for a while. It's not been since Jose's second season, is it? I believe. The Rashford, when he went sent Trent for hot dogs a couple of times.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's been a fair while. They've not had any success at Old Trafford either, for the record. But yeah, great game today, back and forth, and exactly what you want to see from a United and Liverpool game.
Yeah, and if there was a time to beat Liverpool, of course, it's now. You know, you strike while the iron is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Burnley, our good friends.
Good friends across the hill.
They did. They got the job done the other night, which is good. And it also, yeah, it highlighted a few vulnerabilities they've got. And maybe last week when we played them, exactly a week ago, we were there and thereabouts, but we just couldn't quite get over the line. But today was a completely different game because both teams had more about them in an attacking sense, and it was very open in that way in some parts. But this feels really big. Yeah. Feels really big because, like you said, us and Liverpool, I wouldn't say bogey team because it's much more than that, isn't it, with the history and stuff. It's not like Blackburn Rovers or something where, you know, we just can't beat them. But it feels massive, and it feels like everything's going in the right direction. As I said just before we went on air, I was talking about if only the Champions League, if we just not lost against Istanbul. There's plenty of points you can point to in that campaign where maybe we should have done things differently. But apart from that, everything feels really good right now, and we beat Liverpool. It's great.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Champions League as well, we're still building up fitness and stuff. In the early games, actually. We were doing all right, weren't we? But we've really come on since probably the Leipzig game, was it? Well, in fact, we've been all right since the Tottenham game, really, haven't we? But yeah, great victory today, Matt. Are you happy? I presume you are.
I am happy. I am very happy. It's a shame that we couldn't get the job done last week, but different situations probably call for different team selections and different...
I think home advantage actually played a part today as well.
Do you think? I'm not
just sure. Just in the way that we seemed a bit braver today for some reason.
Yeah, we did, but I thought if you think about it this way, like we obviously have much to lose. We're going out of the FA Cup, but I feel like the league is probably our big priority, and I think like
it was a case of not don't lose last week, weren't it? I think
yeah, and we were being very safe, but this was just a case of just go out and just score as many goals as you possibly can, and maybe not worried so much about getting caught out at the back because. Well, we did, but we end up scoring more because we weren't being as cautious as we probably were last week.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that we can actually go toe-to-toe with Liverpool and beat them.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that, I don't know, like...
It seemed quite united.
Yeah, we had a lot of... We didn't have a load of possession, but we got on the camel, which is obviously what we're good at. But there were no point where I thought that Liverpool were ever going to run away with that game at all.
No.
We were always in the game. We might not have had the best spells throughout the game. We might have been amazing throughout the whole 90 minutes. But, yeah, there were no point that I thought Liverpool were going to take the game to us and, like, put us to bed.
No, they always look dangerous. I mean, I think the first 10 minutes was mostly ours, I would say. I think we started the brightest, moving the ball around pretty quickly. Cavani, Rashford. Well, Rashford looking good all game. Cavani was looking bright as well. Greenwood was getting shots off, maybe not quite coming off in the early stages, but, you know, he was building his confidence, finding his range, you could say. And, yeah, I'd say we were the better side. I think, arguably, their goal came against the run of play, really. I don't think they created too much in the first 10, 15 minutes or so, but they did us with a little through ball, and I don't know if Shaw and Lindelof probably could have done better dealing with that. I don't know. I don't really know who's responsibility he was, though, in there. He just kind of snuck through them both, didn't he? And kind of blindsided the pair of them. So whether it's a communication thing with them two, I don't know. But it was a good finish from Salah.
It was. And again, when we concede a goal, there's always that sort of reaching out for blame. And it's natural. Mm-hmm. Because you always want to see how you can prevent these things going forward. Mm-hmm. But just in the moment, I think when I watched it, yeah, I was looking a little bit, like you say, at Lindelof and Shaw and the space in between them. But you've got to take into account, of course, and we do, because we're, you know, we look at the full picture here at the Devil's Trident. If you look at the player in question, which is Mohamed Salah, very, very clever footballer, and he just knew exactly when to go. The pass, forgive me, I can't remember who passed it.
Firmino, wasn't it?
Firmino, yep. Are we thinking?
I think so, yeah.
But again, these are very clever players, and I just think the move was made at the right time, the pass was made at the right time. And yeah, I started thinking in that moment, maybe if Bailly was instead of Lindelof, I know that's like a common thing to go back to all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think Lindelof... I'm just going to put it up to a genius pass and a genius movement from Salah, and then also the finish. As soon as Henderson came out, we know that Salah on both feet pretty capable, and he's got that kind of lob in his locker as well.
Yeah,
and I don't think you can really fault Henderson either, because he's come, and I'm talking him up because he's that good. It's like he's got all kinds of finishes in his arsenal of weaponry, and he can do the low finishes as well. He can go round you, do whatever. But we've seen a few times him do that little dink, and on his so-called weaker foot as well. And Henderson did what he could, tried to make himself big, but it goes over him, and it's a goal. And I wouldn't necessarily go after Shaw, but maybe you can. I don't know. Maybe what do you guys think?
I'm not sure. Like I say, I don't think if that was one of our goals, Bruno would play that pass for Rashford. I don't think we'd be going here, but that's poor defending.
No, you'd be hailing the pass and the finish and the run, wouldn't you? So you just kind of look at it like that, I think, personally. But
yeah, it's just frustrating, because obviously you look at it in the grand scheme of it, we were dominant in the first 15 minutes, and like you said, it came against the run of play, and you can't really fault the finish at all. You can't fault the build up, and you can't really fault the defending, because what are you gonna do? I mean, the only thing you could probably do is think maybe Bailly might have stuck a foot out and done a wild block or something or like a wild interception to try and get to it, but not necessarily. I don't think there's much really could.
Yeah, well.
Could take from that.
Well, really, I don't know how it materialised, but that's Maguire's side anyway. Lindelof plays on the right, doesn't he, of them two. Mm. It was Lindelof that was next to Shaw on that occasion, so I can't quite remember what the build-up to the goal was other than the pass through. But
was it not from a corner? Sorry.
I don't know.
Was it not from a corner?
Up.
Yeah, sorry. I'm tired today. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was from a corner, if I believe rightly, that came out and then played back in.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway, they went 1-0 up. I don't think our heads dropped as such, but our passing dropped off a little bit in that we were just giving the ball away all the time. We were sloppy. A couple of rash challenges. Maybe just rushing our passes and trying to get back in the game. So it's not necessarily your heads dropping, but maybe you're not quite thinking as clearly as you should be doing. And there was a rough 10-minute period, really, where we didn't really just get a foot on the ball again, and it kind of dropped off from the first 10 minutes. McTominay looked a bit shaky with some of his passes out and some of his tackles. He ended up giving a free kick away on the edge of the box as well for Trent Alexander-Arnold. I have to make sure he says his full name, because everybody just calls him Trent, like he's the mate. It's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Don't like that.
Your mate, Trent.
It's just Trent to everyone, isn't it? Like, it's probably because he's got such a long last name, but you know, it bugs me.
Just call him Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold.
Instead, with his football shaped head.
Yeah, but the Alexander Arnold free kick came to nothing. Then a couple of minutes later, we're back in it. Paul Pogba with a fantastic big tackle. One for the Soccer AM, old school Soccer AM fans out there. Paul Pogba's big tackle. Yep, puts in a crucial tackle on the edge of our box, ends up with Rashford, and he pings it for Greenwood over the top. Milner almost gets to it, but what a ball from Rashford, and what a finish from Mason Greenwood. That is what we've come to expect of him already in his young career.
I think the whole build-up was good from the very start of Pogba's challenge to Van de Beek to Rashford to Greenwood. It was just all of it was just classic United, and it was great to see, and just what we needed at that time to get us back into the game. Because like you said, we'd had such poor like possession, not being able to get anything out of our own half, and just losing it in stupid places, and then for it to kind of click like that just so easily. And that you started a bit of a trend after that, didn't it? Where everything kept getting opened up on that left-hand side, and we made it really difficult for Liverpool. But you've got to recommend, commend Greenwood on that goal. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, that was the sort of finishes he was putting in at the end of last season, wasn't it? And there was just absolute composure. He knew exactly what he wanted to do as soon as he got the ball, really, and hopefully that helps him kick on a little bit again.
Yeah, he's single-minded in that regard. Greenwood gets the ball down, and this is where the comparisons to Van Persie come in, because I don't think they're too generous, because it's not necessarily always about like his body shape and the way that he shifts. Well, it is the way he shifts the ball. I'm about to elaborate on that. Yeah. But it's not just because he's capable on either foot. It's that kind of technique Van Persie had, where his first touch is to set himself, how can I score now? How can I finish this? It's like you saw it with Bergkamp quite a lot. Bergkamp would do that. Dutch players in general, some of the strikers, I don't know if it's how they're taught from an early age or something like that. But Van Persie definitely had that. Just his first touch was usually somewhat clever to engineer a finish quickly. You know,
yeah,
Van
whereas a lot of players maybe take a couple to do that.
Maybe they do. Or they want to shoot first time. I don't know what it is. It's a whole wider issue. But yeah, that's one thing I noticed. The Greenwood got it down. And again, it's just having that single-mindedness to just, well, I'm having a go, and he's that good, isn't he? Again, with either foot. So, but in recent weeks, and even earlier on in the game, he'd had a few chances, some snapshots maybe, and he's not in the best of form. He's not recreating the form from the end of last season just yet.
No.
So you're wondering, and we're all willing him to get it over the line. You're thinking, come on, Mason, it's going to be hopefully the first of many. One for his confidence, obviously, especially against the enemy, Liverpool. Mm. I was actually, in that moment, thinking that one of their main threats that Liverpool had, obviously, Andrew Robertson, had a quiet game. Seemingly not, because apparently he screamed in Greenwood's face. Is that right?
As he was shooting?
Yeah. What's that all about? Because I missed that first time.
I didn't actually see that. It was one of the replays, weren't it? I was just making a note about the goal, and I'd...
Yeah,
yeah, I missed that, but I believe it.
Yeah, a bit immoral, yeah. I think. I mean, not to cry.
It's a bit off, not like. Very sportsmanlike, is it? But I suppose you don't expect loads of sportsmanship in a United and Liverpool game. But apparently, there's that first goal that Mason Greenwood scored in 10 games or something. Is that right?
Could be. I remember him scoring against.
I know he played a lot of games. West Ham was one I remember.
Leipzig before that, I think. Yeah,
West Ham 10 games ago. Christ.
Yeah, we've. That was like one of the early podcast episodes we did, wasn't it?
I believe, yeah, maybe. It just doesn't seem that long ago, but yeah, I suppose there has been a few since, yeah. Well, good to get him back on the score sheet anyway. Like I say, we was finding his range early doors and maybe taking shots that maybe he could arguably have passed. There was one that he could have squared back to Van der Beek, and I think Cavani was up in arms at one point, but Cavani's always up in arms if he doesn't get the ball, which is...
Oh, yeah, he likes to see
it. Yeah, well, he likes his goals, doesn't he? So.
Yeah, so I think from that point on, really, especially in the second half, it was mostly us again. And Luke Shaw donned his newfound cape and just started flying down the left, and his corners were good. One for Pogba, one for McTominay. I think there was one for someone else. All great deliveries. Also bombing down the left and putting in crosses and generally grafting in a way that, and getting into the final third a lot, which is something Luke Shaw kind of stopped doing for a while under Mourinho and stuff. And you wouldn't necessarily, like when he bust a gut to get the ball up and stop it from going out before it, you know, so that we ended up winning a corner. Just little things like that, that little bit of drive that he seems to have got now is really impressive, and he had another good game today.
Yeah, to be fair, we were saying on the chat while we were watching this, if Luke carries on playing like this, there's an England call up at the end of the season for him.
Yeah, I think there has to be.
100%, which is great to see, because obviously a lot of England teams over the past like few years, have not been a huge amount of United players in there making, like putting a stamp, like put in their position. But I think Luke has a very good chance of being number one left back. So
yeah, you'd say arguably it's between him and Chilwell at the moment.
And he's playing better than Chilwell at the moment. So.
Yeah, Chelsea aren't doing great. I think this is a separate subject, obviously. I think Southgate prefers Chilwell over anyone we've got. But yeah, Luke Shaw definitely, true, but, I mean, definitely in with a shout, which
definitely,
is
definitely the picture now. Which is again, it's nice to have him part of the scene and like an option. But it just goes to show how well he's come on at the start of this year, at least. I mean, yeah, he's had a good start of the season, but it seems like this year he's really just kicked on. Like he's had a really, really good couple of weeks, and it's like comparing it to like the Luke Shaw of old before his horrific injury, where he's just no fear.
Yeah, and just willing to get forward, which is a big thing for United left back, where he's, I think, arguably a bit cautious over a few times. Maybe he would just scare shitless of pissing Mourinho off. you don't really know.
Yeah, because you'd get being sat on the bench again for another 4 months, couldn't you, if you go against the gaffer like that.
Yeah, so, yep, Luke Shaw was impressive in, especially in the first half. Pogba was also decent in first half, had a couple of efforts, a free kick. He tried to bend it around the wall and didn't quite get it right, and had a free kick also around a similar position where he kind of bent that round the post, and he was heavily involved. But yeah, we went in 1-1 at half time, and that was probably kind of fair, I suppose. I mean, they had like a 10-15 minute spell, didn't they, when they scored? But other than that, I think we were well in it, and it was probably worthy of a draw. And it set up a very interesting second half, which we will get to after the break. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Right then, to the second half. A second half that started really well for us. Marcus Rashford puts us 2-1 ahead. Lovely finish. Really composed. What we'd expect again from Marcus Rashford of late. And Mason Greenwood repays the favour with a lovely ball through for him. Do you think Alisson should have done better though, Matt?
Goalkeeper's corner.
Criticise the Champions League and Premier League winning goalkeeper.
I'm not going to criticise him at all. He didn't get anything to it.
You're adamant about this, aren't you?
I am adamant about this. Like, I was arguing with another friend of ours that they said that Alisson clearly got a hand to it, and it bobbled under him, but he didn't. I don't think he'd got any sort of hand to it at all. It goes under his hand.
I've not watched it enough times to know, so I can't really input for that, but I knew you had strong feelings about it.
I have, and I've done that, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't going to get anything to it. The way that Marcus hits it, it literally bounces just before it goes towards his hand. I think that's why Alisson gets beaten, because of the way it bounces just before it hits his hand.
Yeah, maybe so. What do you think, James? Do you think he should have done better, or is it just, again, a quality finish that you have to take your hat off to?
It's a quality finish that you have to take your hat off to, but judging by Alisson's reaction, if you spotted that, Alisson clearly thinks that Alisson should have done better, because he's pounding the ground like that, and that's what made me think he got a touch. It made me think he got a touch. But I'm not sure he did. That's the thing. It's the way it sort of bounces under his... But, I mean, ultimately it doesn't matter. But, yeah, should he have done better? I don't know, but, Alisson clearly thinks that Alisson should have done better, so... You can only go off that, really.
I like how Alisson talks about himself in the third person, just like Terry Crews does.
Alisson has won the Premier League and Champions League.
Does he love yogurt?
Alisson loves saving goals. That's what it was.
But, yeah, either way, 2-1 up. Whether it should have been saved or not, it was a good finish. And I thought we just needed to be a bit comfortable for a while. I thought we looked confident, but we'd still never really got our foot on the ball and ball
on the ball.
Got our foot on the ball.
Foot on the ball.
We're on the ball.
We're on the ball. Yeah, we didn't get our foot on the ball and really control it. And that's, I think that's one thing we're kind of lacking still. It was still a little bit open. I mean, we were still looking dangerous every time. Every time Rashford got the ball, really, we were looking dangerous. He swapped over to the right and was spraying balls over and still looking dangerous from there. But I think that's furthered the argument that Marcus Rashford really should play on the left today. Mm. I mean, he's been good on the right. He's done good things and scored a couple of important goals from that position, but he's just dynamite on that left-hand side, isn't he? And it's just, how do you fit Martial, Cavani, Greenwood, all in the same sort of sides and keep rotating? I think he's going to find himself over on the right-hand side a few times just to accommodate Martial every now and again. But if it's the players that are playing today, that were Greenwood and Cavani and Rashford, it suits Rashford down to the ground, I think.
Yeah, well, the question now is, how long do you, quote-unquote, accommodate Martial? Not in a brutal sort of sense, but mm-hmm. with only limited places available, and the way that this team seems at the moment to be going places, and we're finding a formula, especially in the big games, that seems to serve us well, which is Cavani up top leading the line, like a true out-and-out, dyed-in-the-wool number nine, so to speak, and then that's one of your places taken up, if that's what you're going to go for in the big games, where it counts, even like Fulham, because, well, big game, they're all big games now, until the rest of the season, clearly, but, Martial, just... He can kind of, I'm not, it sounds like I'm having a go, but I'm not. It's just in recent weeks, he sort of dipped in and out of form and he needs a goal desperately. So you do want to see him out on the pitch getting minutes. But we've seen the best of Mason and Rashford tonight. Now, Martial didn't play many minutes at all, did he? So don't get me wrong.
I think he got 10 at the end?
Yeah, he got like something. So clearly this wasn't a kind of, because the response to that would be, yeah, well, Martial didn't play tonight, did he really? So, yeah, no, I'm not trying to say, like, what have you done for me lately, Martial, as such. I'm just trying to say that they've put a marker down, those two lads, and there should be competition in the side. We know that. It was irritating me at the start of the season to see when Mane or Salah would be taken off, and they'd be visibly irritated because there's a well-documented... little competition between the two of them. Who's going to score more goals this season? That's the way it should be. Yeah, healthy competition. It's not bitterness or whatever, but there should be a sort of... And they're aiming towards the same goal at the end of the day, aren't they? As long as they don't kick off on the bench or anything. But you can see there's a bit of... You know, I don't know what the word is, but you know what I mean? It hurts them to come off and know that the other guy is going to get a chance to score another. So I'm not saying recreate that as such, but the word accommodate is an interesting one because everyone's got a kind of... sort of earned their place. But Martial, we've seen him fits and starts. He gets goals here and there. His consistency is just one of those things. But then today, on the other hand, Rashford's not scored for a little bit. Greenwood hadn't scored for, 10 games, was it?
Yeah.
So maybe Martial's time's coming, and that's good. That's great. And it takes all sorts to make a world. It takes all sorts to make a good squad as well that functions right. And seeing that today, I think that we are not far off becoming, like you said, there's a few bits where it was just slack there and we're giving the ball away, a little bit erratic. I think it comes down to game management as well, having a person in the middle, someone like Bruno Fernandes, who we'll get to later because he came on, but someone coming on in the midfield and just having the sense to, like, guys, come on, let's and
calm things down.
But it'll come, and the likes of McTominay will grow into those kind of characters, and he's got a bit of that already, but just a constant through the team. Maybe Maguire should be, I don't know, but
It's a bit more difficult from his position, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. But basically, all I'm saying is I think we're not very far away. We're a couple of steps away, I think, from becoming a really good, because we are a good team. We're a really good team. We can hurt anybody. But it's the consistency. And I think once we get that down, I don't know what that's going to take, but just familiarity with winning, maybe, just getting that winning formula, quote-unquote, but I don't know what that is. But we're not far away from really being a top side that is consistent now, I don't think.
Yeah, and the wins keep coming, don't they? And as we've said many times, this, a lot of teams and players thrive off confidence, but this one really does thrive off confidence because they can just go on runs, can't they? We've seen it so many times now under Solskjaer. The initial run was all spirits lifted, confidence levels lifted, get back to what you're good at. And they were great for whatever the 15 games or whatever it was. And then, yeah, we saw in after lockdown and pretty much since Bruno's arrived, really, we've gotten great runs and now we're on one again. And you just, touch wood, you feel like, well, how are they going to lose? You know, obviously it will come. It could come the next game for all we know, but you get that sense that there's a winning mentality growing now, and it is great to see. But we were tested again by Liverpool because we, like I say, we didn't really get a foot on the ball and start to control the game. And around the hour mark, Liverpool snuck back into it, really. They had a couple of chances just before they got the goal. I can't remember it now. Well, James Milner slid in and knocked one over the bar, which looked like a dangerous opportunity. Maybe Henderson had it covered, but either way, it got him behind our defence and, you know, decent opportunity. But then their ball comes from us trying to play out from the back, getting out from the back, and then Cavani giving away a sloppy ball, which he'll be disappointed with himself. And obviously it leads to the attack that Salah scores his second from, but Cavani will be a bit wounded about that.
Yeah, and it was, although in Cavani's defence, it was pretty much the kind of ball that you see him play, that one where he cuts it across at an angle, and they think that someone's going to get on the end of it so he can start his run, but it went a bit wayward and no one really got on the end of it apart from Liverpool, which cost us dearly, unfortunately, but again, that's just, you can't really let Liverpool have them chances because they'll punish you.
No, we're on the ropes a little bit for, I think it wasn't too long, maybe 5-10 minutes. I mean, periods of pressure from Liverpool, this Liverpool side over the last few years, do feel quite long, and they sometimes feel inevitable that something is coming. But we didn't buckle. Like, they got the goal, probably through our own doing, really. But we kept our heads up, and Solskjaer made changes around the 65th, 70th minute, I think it was. Bruno comes on for Donny van de Beek. Didn't have a fantastic game. I don't think he had a bad game necessarily, but he didn't influence the game as much as Bruno Fernandes has and does. Fred came on as well to just give McTominay an extra partner in the middle to solidify us. I think that kind of changed the game from then on. It went to the rigid two of Fred and McTominay in midfield, Pogba further forward. Bruno, like you say, the calming influence that you mentioned before, the game management, just the general nous, footballing nous that he's got. And he definitely made all the difference. Mane came on for them, which is obviously a dangerous substitution, but we seem to handle him quite well. But yeah, Cavani gets pulled down for that free kick. Was it a free kick? There's a debate over that. Ian Wright doesn't think it was.
Well, first of all, off topic on football, what the hell was Wright wearing today?
He was wearing a sleeping bag, I think.
It looked very odd. I was not getting the look he was going for.
He had a problem with Alan Shearer's flat cap as well.
I have a problem with everyone wearing flat caps. I don't have anything against flat caps. It's a good look for a lot of people. I just don't like it when everybody on the punditry team is wearing a flat cap. That annoys me. So it was, although
Mads gripes.
Right, his look was weird. But at least he wasn't wearing a flat cap, so I let him off. But I don't know. I don't know what his train of thought was with it not being a free kick. He was adamant it wasn't. But
I think he's admitted on social media since to a United account, Republic of Mancunia, I think it was. But I think he's had a little bit of back and forth there and said admitted that no, it was a free kick eventually.
Well, yeah, but it was. So
yeah, pulled him down. I think they thought they were claiming handball, weren't they? But Cavani gets pulled down, and it's a dangerous position to give Bruno Fernandes a free kick.
The man you'd want over the ball, mm-hmm. No doubt. There was a bit of a queue, so to speak, and one of the people in the queue was Fred. And I wouldn't want him taking it. No offence, Fred, but just leave it to the professionals.
I think he's just in there just to mess with people's heads.
He's a decoy, isn't he?
He is a decoy. Kick,
in similar situations, I remember, I don't want to get derailed here, but the Carabao Cup semi-final.
You were allowed to let him in the Carabao Cup, though. Come on.
No, but we were on the verge of, I think we only needed a goal against City tie it up sort of thing, takes away extra time, and it was Mata territory.
Yeah.
Mata territory, just up and over. He's up and over.
The perfect Mata free kick it would have been, wouldn't it?
And Fred just went, hey, I like football as well, and took it. And spoiler alert, it did not go in. On this occasion...
I remember being fucking livid at that.
Yeah, I was furious. Again, game management again, though, don't it? It comes back to just who's your senior person going, listen, people versus task, and where does the line go?
Yeah, that was...
David Brent manages your team, of course.
Yeah. I was going to say it. I can't quite place that quote, but yeah, now I can.
Yeah, trust me, I'm full of them.
Yeah,
keep up. I phased you, but
you did. But that was pre Bruno. That I think that was the day he signed, actually. So there was no one to stamp that authority there quite yet on the pitch. Yeah. So that's why Fred got away with that one, and not since, I don't believe. So, but yeah, great free kick. As they were saying in commentary, it was one of those that needed to be hit low. He did hit low, didn't he? Or did he hit low?
It wasn't that low. I think it still went top corner.
I can't remember now.
No, it went. It ended up in the bottom corner.
Bottom corner.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know if he went up and over. He sort of hit it. I think it went sort of around the... We're not very prepared. I've just realised. We don't care. We won.
Right.
It's fine.
People had to... Well, it didn't end the bottom corner because people had to duck.
It did. It went... It's as if we've never seen the goal before, but
I was too busy celebrating. I've seen about one replay.
leave us off it. You know,
it was about 2 hours ago as well. So
the ball went. I think it sort of snuck just over the water. Yeah, because Thiago Alcantara was trying to head. Right, so it's clear. Yeah, he tried to head it. He leapt like a little Brazilian salmon to try and head it, but it dipped down, and Alisson just missed it, and he dived for his bottom corner. And that's why, I mean, it sounds a bit redundant now. I was going to ask Matt about should Alisson have done better, but who knows?
Well, who knows? No one can remember.
Top free kick.
Yeah, what we remember is it was good.
Yeah, but I'm
I remember it going in
quite the area of the net that it went in. I'm not 100% sure, but I know that it was good to get it around the wall, and he just stepped up when it was a pressure situation, which is what Bruno Fernandes does for us. And he got a bit of a rest today, which was valuable. It will be valuable in the coming weeks. And I don't think we necessarily missed him as much as we have done in previous occasions where he's not been playing. It wasn't obvious that Bruno wasn't playing today in the same way that it has been recently, in that you take him out and we just go to shit.
Yeah, because there's still goals in there and there's still players. Like, if you'd have done that like 2 or 3 months back when Pogba wasn't in full force, then maybe you would have missed him loads. But the fact that you've got Pogba on doing bits and having such a big influence in the game, and obviously the likes of Cavani as well, who were finding goals out of nowhere, then you can forget that he's not playing, but he comes on, makes a big difference. But I think even if he didn't come on, there was a chance we probably still would have got a goal from somewhere. I think Cavani, we're going to get to it later on, but Cavani is the kind of player that would pull you out of the shit. So even if Bruno wouldn't have been on, I think we still would have won the game and got a goal from somewhere. But just the way that Bruno does it, comes on, just helps us over the line.
However, it was telling that he had the final say,
so
to speak, on the game. And did you hear, by the way, what Solskjaer said about his rest time?
No.
And training after the
game. Yeah, he said in training he was pretty much told he wasn't going to play the game or start the game, so he spent the next hour and a half practicing his free kicks, and that paid off, didn't it? Even if we can't remember how it went in.
Solskjaer said that he knew it was going to get on target because he'd been watching what we were doing,
and that is a good manager. That's my manager.
Also, can we just take a moment to realise, like, again, that this is another big manager that Ollie's beaten with Klopp.
It took him a few attempts with Klopp, but he's done it.
But still, only one defeat. The rest are all draws.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
So, again, I saw this on Instagram where the list of managers that Ollie's beaten now.
Yeah,
and all the top managers in European football, and he's beaten them all.
Yeah,
for a PE teacher, I think he's doing all right.
Yes.
He's had a few pops at Klopp, but now we're top of the crop.
Yay!
That's not the title. It's too long.
I'm just throwing things out that it can be titles now. Star Redemption.
Let's put some respect on his name now. Let's
definitely.
I mean, even if we don't win the title this season, like, people need to see how well we are doing under him. The consistency might not be there yet.
Not there for anybody right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, So I think it's good. I think it silenced a lot of critics with this game. I think people will start to realise that you can't write him off.
I was going to say that. That was going to be one of my points later, but does winning this, I know it doesn't affect the league and directly, but is this another big confidence boost in making it look like we are definite contenders now? Because that's a big scalp to take, I think, Liverpool, because not many teams beat Liverpool
full stop
yeah. for the last few years. And
unless you're Burnley.
Unless you're...
Or us.
But yeah, I think it feels like another milestone that we've beat a proper top side and got over the little bit of a hoodoo that we've had of not being able to beat big sides at home for some reason this year. But generally, we've been good against the big sides under Solskjaer, but this season, that's kind of been the bit that's been missing, but we've done it. I think it will give them more belief anyway, especially now we've sent Liverpool down the table with the help of Burnley as well, and then to beat them after it as well. It's just a good psychological boost, I would say.
It compounds the misery, and yes. It reminds me, and you always want to do that, stick the boot in when you can, because there's no sentiment here, especially when it comes to those lot. But it reminds me of a week that Arsenal had. Arsenal had a terrible week in their Invincibles season, do you remember? They got thrown out the Champions League by, I think, Chelsea beat them on aggregate, obviously, because it was like a quarter-final stage or something, and then played us in the FA Cup, and Paul Scholes scored, and we knocked them out. And now, of course, they were unbeaten that season in the league.
Really,
but they always
drew about a million games, didn't they?
Yeah, we'll never hear the end of it. But the one thing to salvage from that, and we were able to stick a bit of a, yeah, because they wanted the quadruple, didn't they? And or the treble. And their treble dreams were dashed because the Arsenal team were very good, and clearly there's no escaping that. But people were trying to sort of think, oh, well, are they going to emulate the United side of 99? But we sort of, with the help of Chelsea, just gave them a rotten old week in the sort of run to the Invincible season. So yeah, it just sort of reminds me of that because Liverpool are having a bit of a time of it.
Definitely does compound their misery, which is quite delightful. But we're not going to get too cocky because...
Oh, no, of course not.
It can all turn around and we don't want to be a... with those guys.
We don't want to have egg on our faces.
Definitely not. Anyway, yeah, Bruno puts us up and I think we'd managed out the game. I mean, game management has been a big topic for us recently. And we got to this stage in the league against them last season where we were winning with 10 minutes to go and we buckled and the Lan scored late on. So... again, it's another step that they've taken where they've seen out the game, a tight game against a top side to get the result. Could have been more with Cavani's header, which was what a cross, what a ball from Bruno and what a header from Cavani. That was, I don't know how high you leapt for that, but...
put some serious stink on it, didn't
it? It did, and he got power on it and such direction, obviously not pinpoint direction because it would have gone in, but it was a... definitely a very good head, and that would have really capped it off, but wasn't to be. But we still held out. A bit of a sketchy last couple of minutes. Pogba gives away a free kick on the edge of the box, which is just asking for trouble when you got players like Alexander-Arnold in the side. But we rode it out, and we were reasonably comfortable from going 3-2 up and into the next round. West Ham up next in a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks, I think it is. So... I mean, you've got to fancy our chances of getting to the quarter. Will that be the quarters if we
I
win
think
the next
so
round?
After that, yeah.
Yeah. So, could be on for another semi-final defeat.
Yeah, the Moise Derby. Let's do it.
Yeah, at home as well. You would fancy our chances. I think there'll be rotation aplenty in the next few weeks, as there just always is at the moment. But yeah, there'll be. Feeling confident we're getting through, and it just gives us another psychological boost going back to the league and knowing that we can rotate like we have done this week and the form doesn't drop off like we were discussing it last week, weren't we? We're saying what are they going to do for this game? Are they going to make a shed load of changes and disrupt it? Are we going to see James and Mata and all that sort of stuff? And we I guess we kind of came to the conclusion that it wouldn't be like that, and it'd be a bit more reserved in the changes made. And the changes he made didn't give us a drop off in quality, which is great. And I think that'll continue for the next few weeks. I think he's found a way of pulling people in and out of the side, and it's working to good effect at the moment. So next up is Sheffield United at home. That's a game that has also got changes written all over it, I would say.
Big changes, do you reckon? Because I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out when we're going to like see the likes of James and Mata and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's going to be safe for like Europa League.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think league wise we're going to do loads of big changes. I think it's going to be them like key players that are going to be. Swapped around.
I can't see opportunities for the likes of them players at the moment when there's such a good core of players that he can rotate in comfortably without it having a negative effect. There's going to be rest for everybody along the way here. And if, let's face it, if when we're talking about rest, we're only talking about a game every, you know, maybe five or six for players. Like that's what he's done with Rashford. That's kind of what he's done with Bruno. It doesn't mean they're not going to play at all in the game, but you know, they'll get most of the game off, and that's pretty much it. But that's what top sides do. They play all the time.
You talk about rotation, and that's kind of it. Sheffield United could be the kind of game where you see, because when you talk about rotation, the name Dan James is kind of synonymous with that.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad, especially like to be Neville, but at this moment in time, because think about all those times that we were very over reliant on Dan James for creativity. Mm. That's not to say he doesn't have a place in this squad. He does, and he's going to have games where he'll take it, you know, down the wing, and he'll create stuff.
Like the Leeds one, because we knew it was going to be.
Oh yeah, of course, that was geared up.
Very important.
He got a goal. It was wonderful. I like Dan James. It's not a criticism. He has his limitations here and there, but a lot of players do. But what we're doing now is, it's just less reliant on a player that came to us from the Championship. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. And you've got this main core, like you said, of players you can call upon. But then you've got players like James there if and when you need them. Now, Donny van de Beek, that's a different thing altogether. But, when you talk... Yeah, so if you're asking me what I'm thinking rotation-wise for the game, I don't really know. Because with Sheffield United's really poor form, especially in the league, you could kind of be tempted to, you know, switch a few pieces out here and there. But you can picture the scene, can't you? Like, Man City are probably going to win. Playing West Brom away.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you've got to, at this stage of the season, especially with how tight everything is at the top, then, yeah, you'd expect City to. They're without De Bruyne, though, aren't they, for a while?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Aguero still.
Yeah, so I don't know. Can Big Sam do us a favour?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't bank. This is the thing, without getting excited, I wouldn't bank on it. So I think we're going into that game second. So then, I know they've got this game in hand in the future, but, you know, as things stand, I think at that point, we're probably going into that game in second place. So there is a kind of need for, because then next thing you know, you go a goal down, hopefully not, and then it's like, hang on, lads, whoa, hang on. And you don't want to lose.
That's what happened this week,
innit? Exactly. So you don't want to lose to Sheffield United, you know, again, without disrespecting anybody, but they're in a pretty abysmal runner. They got the first win a few weeks ago, didn't they?
But
that one win. So, yeah, and at Sheffield United, we went a goal down.
Yeah.
Didn't we? And we had to really dig ourselves out. And there were changes made in that game, because Henderson played.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the sort of changes, by changes in rotation, I do mean just what has been occurring for the last few weeks, really.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, as good as it was today and the Fulham game, I think Cavani probably drops back out again and Martial probably plays. I think as much as he can, I think he'll play three of the four forwards and it'll be mostly Cavani that drops in and out, really. Midfield, Matic hasn't played much of a part in the last few games, so that's maybe one for him where, you know, we're at home, we're going to have more of the ball, it's not as much of a, you know, doesn't require like an energetic midfield necessarily against this side, so maybe expect him. Maybe Donny gets back-to-back games, and
yeah, Donny and Matic along with
maybe this is one that you sit Pogba out for with a view to the fact we've got Arsenal next week, for example.
That's true.
So yeah, Bruno's had his rest. So you can, but you're still fielding a strong team there, aren't you? It's,
yeah,
which is brilliant. Like, if you could, you can field the a midfield two of Van der Beek and Matic, which would make sense if you, if you think it's going to be Fred and McTominay against Arsenal and Pogba.
Mm.
Possibly Pogba further forward like he has been doing. So my call would probably be Matic and Van der Beek. Give Van der Beek more time to bed in rather than giving him an hour today and then dropping him back out for five games or whatever. So maybe that's part of his thinking. I don't know.
It'd make a lot of sense. I'd be fine with that. As long as we're like I said, as long as we're giving the players, like key players, rest every now and again. Because like we don't want the same thing to happen like we did at the end of last season where they were just burned out. And you can see Fernandez like wanting to do everything he wants to do but just cannot physically do it because he was just that knackered.
I don't think we've got that same, unless injuries happen, big injuries, I don't think we're going to have that same problem because you have got a worthy replacement for Bruno Fernandes now to come in and play a game or two when he needs to in Van der Beek. And Van der Beek can also drop in a deeper position as well.
I don't think Van der Beek offers the same thing as Bruno, though. Like, I don't want this to be like a negative thing on Donny, but like when you watch Donny off the ball, he's not as influential as Bruno is.
It's like his
dedication of getting the ball back and getting. So Donny will put in good challenges, and we know like he likes to slide tackle. We know he likes to put himself in there, but his work rate is nowhere near the likes of Bruno, and sometimes you need that in a game.
Yeah, just that energy.
I think that's probably the difference in today's game. Like, obviously, he covers a lot of ground, doesn't he, Bruno? And Donny will cover a lot of ground, but nowhere near to the degree of Bruno. So he's a good replacement, but he is not the same player. He's not the same caliber of player that Bruno is.
No, not yet. He's also a bit younger and more new to the league than Fernandes, isn't he? So.
No, I've got no doubt. He's a talent, and he's going to be very useful for us going forward. But like, I necessarily wouldn't say he's a Bruno replacement.
No, but he's someone that can come in and play in his position.
Yeah,
and will still contribute to the team performance more so than when we had to put Pereira and Lingard in for him instead. It's a big drop. But there's that pretty much everywhere, all over the pitch. Apart from maybe right back at the moment, where Wan-Bissaka's essentially unchallenged, really, unless you can include Williams in that, but Williams has been out of the squad for whatever reasons at the moment. I don't know if I think he's got a bit of an injury, possibly. Tuan Zerbe can play right back, but that's still a centre half playing right back, isn't it? It's not a full challenge, so maybe he probably keeps his place against Sheffield United, unless he does try Tuan Zerbe there. Maybe Tellez gets a game to give Shaw some time off before Arsenal, because we kind of get a sense of who the main important players are now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the players that you would expect it to be now, in the sense that it's your first choice left back of Shaw that has been at the club ages and stuff. Pogba, Bruno, Rashford. I think there's just a few positions that are going to just get switched around more than others.
The resurgence of Luke Shaw, now you mentioned Shaw there as being one of the key players, and it's hard to kind of disagree at the minute. You need, like you said, the big game, the bigger of the games is Arsenal coming up. Because that's big for lots of reasons, the old rivalry and stuff, no matter how, I mean, they're showing a bit of an upward curve in form in the league at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe they're figuring it out, maybe they're starting to get things back on track. So I'd be wary of that one. Definitely. So you need your big guns out, and sure, if he's going to keep this up, then I'm here for it. It's really good. And trying to make a kind of superhero Luke Shaw thing cross over in my mind, the best I can come up with is Sebastian Shaw, the mutant from X-Men First Class.
Oh, it's gone right over my head, though.
All right. Well, he's had those kind of powers. He could get things over your head and stuff. Yeah, he had a helmet that went over his head. And spoiler alert, it's the Magneto helmet. But yeah, I made you watch that film, Matthew, once, X-Men First Class.
You did.
You didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. And being a big Marvel fan myself, it was decent.
Okay.
Just not as good as MCU things. That's
but yeah, that
I thought you were going to plug your own podcast thing.
Oh, well, yeah, to. well, you might as well. Thank you for bringing it up, by the way, James. I do actually host
that
a podcast
of
my very own.
Really?
Called the MCU Podcast. You can get it on all your podcast platforms. Listen to me talk about MCU things. James has also been on it a few times.
I have.
And I haven't because I don't know anything about Marvel.
But you might do one time.
Well, do I really know anything about football? I could still come on and talk shit.
Of course you can. Yeah. We'll have you on. It'd be lovely. So yeah, come join us. That MCU guy. That MCU podcast.
Maybe I'll start watching from the start like I've threatened to do since lockdowns began. One day.
Well, you should.
I finished Taskmaster. Now, this is completely off topic, but I finished binge watching Taskmaster now, so I need something to watch, so...
MCU is where you need to be at.
Maybe it will be that.
Especially because now we've actually got actual new content to talk about with WandaVision. So.
Well, anyway, I don't know whether we'll be podcasting after the Sheffield United game, possibly be leaving it until Saturday after the Arsenal game, being the bigger of the two, like we say. So should we just have a quick prediction for the Sheffield United game?
Might as well.
3-0.
I'm going with Matic, Rashford, Fred.
Fred.
Not Fred. No, not Fred. Fred's going to play.
What a ball call of Matic. Fred's
I'm going Donny. Donny, if he gets a start.
Yeah. I think he'll start again, so yeah, there's definitely...
That's Donny, Rashford and Matic.
Get your bets in now.
Get your bets in now. Thank me later.
James, what are you saying for a result?
For a result, I can't really see Pastors winning at the time of recording this. I can't really see Pastors winning, but I'm going to factor in that Man City might sort of actually make a statement against West Brom and be like, look, we've not got De Bruyne, we've not got Aguero and stuff, but we are here and we're here to compete. And we know they are anyway, but just maybe they just really put a marker down, you know, and then the gauntlet is set for us, albeit against Sheffield United. So I think we'll make it difficult for ourselves, but I think we'll win. I'm going to go for 2-1 and we concede first. Just a bit of a throwback to them days of, oh no, it's all going wrong.
That's most games, isn't it?
But with more abusive language, yeah.
Yeah. But with... Yeah, less doubt that we're going to come back into it. Yeah, I can't see anything other than a win, really, which is maybe feels dangerous for United sides over the last few years when we get too confident that we're going to win every game. But I thought we were going to win today, and I was right. And I think I got most of my predictions right in the sense that I thought we were going to draw against Liverpool last week as well. So if I'm going to keep that trend up, yeah, United victory. I think a more comfortable one. I'm going 4-1.
Okay.
I'm going 4-1. I'm going bold.
Wow, woo-wee. Wow.
So, yeah, we'll see if that materialises, and we'll touch on it on Saturday night with the after the Arsenal game. And hopefully the Arsenal game will have gone well for us, and we'll be in party mode on Saturday night. So, until then, I have been Simon. He has been Matt.
You are quite correct. I have been Matt.
And he has been James.
I've been Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Today was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I've been James.
I've had a split personality. And
James
and
Ole.
Yes. We have been the Devil's Trident podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review, by the way, if you listen on Apple Podcasts or if your platform allows you to leave a review. I think there's a website called Podchaser, which I think that lets you leave reviews for podcasts.
In general?
Wherever you listen, yes.
Oh, right, that's good. I believe. Podchaser,
yes. So, fans on there, leave us a review, and it'll help people find us, and hopefully more Reds will be listening. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Goodbye, Reds.
See you later.